Well, we're in a series right now. It's been our Christmas series. It's been called Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-Man. And we looked at the first week the name Jesus. A lot of people didn't know what Jesus' name means. It means God saves. Say it with me. Jesus means God saves. It was His mission statement. When you met Jesus and you said Jesus, you met His mission. It was to save people from their sins. So we looked at Jesus. Looked at a lot of things about Him. And I love that message. I love getting into it and just seeing Him up close and personal. And then we looked at the message, Jesus the Son of God, and tackled that. That was a great experience for me. And then last week was Jesus the Son of Man. He's just like us, right? Say. Some of you told me, you said, yeah, I just never saw it like that. He was just like me. We don't have a problem so much as Him being the Son of God, but just like me, some of the same things I go through, the aches, the pains, the this, the that. Yeah, He was just like, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was made a little lower than the angels so He could save you and me. Today's message, the God-Man. The God-Man. He was God. He was man in one body. That's sort of weird, ain't it? The God-Man. So let's go out right now. Let's see what we got this morning with the message. I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. We start out in Galatians 4:4. Several scriptures. If you got your Bible, you can try to keep up. It'll be a challenge. Here we go. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a what? Say it with me. Woman made under the law. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus Christ is the God-man. He came to this planet. Several statements I just want to have you look at with me. God would not be poured into a stained vessel on the earth. Keep reading with me. There was another way. He would pour His Godhead into flesh and blood and visit this earth as a man. He is the God-man. He would walk among the people as a full-fledged human being in every aspect, yet be fully God at the same time. He had sent prophets many times, but now He would do something far more what? Shocking. God would come to the earth and be born of a woman and walk among men. Shocking that God would do this. He would leave the throne of heaven to walk among men. A king in disguise. The Lord of the universe in human scale. The Creator among His creatures. That's our message today. We're going to look at it. Jesus Christ, the God-man. So y'all ready? Y'all ready to roll? Let's find out Jesus Christ, the God-man. Come on, let's go. I'm going to need your encouragement today and your help. We see He was the God-man at His birth, just laying some groundwork early on in our message this morning. We see it at His birth. You know, you might have had a big fancy birth, and I'm proud of you if you had one. Amen. Okay. We did Lamaze and all that kind of stuff. They used to not do that years ago. Then, you know, they started Lamaze where you could go in and you helped the wife, and I was going, breathe, hee, hoo, hoo, and she's calling me names, you know, you. I know the Lord forgave her, but anyway, because I'm a coach, you know, and I was there to coach. I'm getting off message, but my point is that when Mitchell was born, and I'm like, she wasn't breathing right. And I was like, no, you do it this way. And I told her, I'm going to leave if you don't do it right. You can imagine what she said, amen? All right, so, but regardless of how you came into this world, you didn't have a birth like He had. Are you hearing me? Say, He was the God-man, you and I ain't. Look at His birth, just real quick. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, watch this, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. As good a birth as you had, you weren't born of a virgin. Amen? And angels didn't announce your birth, and God didn't name you. All right? So, He's the God-man. We see it at His birth. We see it a little bit later. We see it in His boyhood. Not much is mentioned in the Bible at all about Jesus' childhood, adolescence, and young adult years. He came, he humbled himself, he lived in obscurity until his mission came. It was time. And that's just part of his love, that the God of heaven would be obscure like that for so many years. But we get a glimpse in his boyhood, and we can see he's the God-man. If you look carefully, Luke 2:48 and 49, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Now, I'll just say something to you. Normally, when you see a 12-year-old kid, and I don't care how good he is, you ain't amazed. You know what I mean? I mean, we love you 12-year-olds, but quite frankly, I mean, you know, we like you and everything, but we're not amazed, okay? You know, but anyway, they were amazed when they saw him. Why? You'll see. He was in the temple. And his mother said unto him, because he stayed behind. They'd gone a couple of days' journey. They had to come a couple of days back. They're ticked off. Where have you been, Jesus? He's in the temple. Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you sorrow, and we're upset at you. And you get the glimpse. Here it is. Look at it. And Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about what? My. I don't think he was in Jerusalem doing carpentry work. Do you say? Uh-uh. He's talking about his heavenly Father. You can see a glimpse, the God man. Keep looking. We see it as baptism. Matthew 3:16-17. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He's the God man. You see, and that's a little bit different than your baptism, say. I've done a lot of baptisms. I've done them in churches, done them in the oceans. I've done them over in the Jordan River. I've done them in the Lemon Bay, swimming pools. I ain't yet seen the heavens open and God say, you my beloved Son. He's different. Are you hearing me say? You need to treat him that way. You need to realize that's who we're talking about. Jesus Christ is the God-man. That's why it's foolish when you try to get to heaven some other way. When you try to come up with a plan. You're going to come up with a plan better than this, say. How are you going to arrange a virgin birth? How are you going to open heaven? How are you going to resurrect the dead? You got you a plan? It ain't going to fly. Are y'all with me? He's the God-man. Keep looking. We see it in his miracles. And I'm just going to name a bunch of them. And this is just a few of them. He turned water into wine. Try that. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He caught fish supernaturally. Now, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know, when you went fishing with Jesus, you didn't need to think about getting your money back because you're going to definitely catch some fish. He was going to put you on the fish, and you're going to catch them. His miracle. He healed lepers. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see. He calmed stormy seas with his hand. He healed the diseased. He made the deaf to hear. He fed thousands at a time. I nearly had a stroke last Sunday night. We had about 300 to 400 at our house. Good grief. He would feed thousands at a time. And I didn't even do anything, and I was wore out the other night. You know what I'm saying? Amazing. He's the God man. He withered trees. Yeah? That's who he was. He put ears back on. Try that. All right? I'll never worship you, but I'll clap for you if you can do that. You hear me? It's funny how we think we can do things, how we can get from earth to heaven without him. That's crazy talk. Listen, he's the God man. That's just a few things we have to say about him. Now we're going to the bulk of my message this morning, and we're in good shape on time. Oh, we're doing good. Come on. Here we go. Pop it up, Raj. You've heard of the 12 days of Christmas? Don't you hate that song, honestly? Say. And a partridge in a pear tree. Who cares? I hate them. What are they? You know what I'm saying? In the South, we didn't have no partridges. I'd never seen one. Lords are leaping, ladies dancing. What's all that mess? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, it is so repetitive. But you've heard of the 12 days of Christmas? Well, here they are, the 12 reasons that God became a man. Can you say that? There are 12 reasons that God became a man. Now, there's a lot more than that. We would be here forever, okay? And 12 is going to scare you, but we're going to move them pretty quick. Here we go. The 12 reasons God became a man. He's the God man. Let's pop it up. We're rolling, Raj. Number one, to show us the invisible God. Would you say that with me? To show us the invisible God. And a lot of people think, is there a God? And we'll tell them, we'll go, wait, look at the stars. Look at the ocean. Look at your DNA. Look at your fingerprints. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at the retina in your eye. But you know what? That's a great argument. You can talk to people like that. But you know what? God came to this earth. Jesus Christ revealed the invisible God. Now, whether you believe in him or not, you cannot deny he came. Now, you can deny it, but you're a nut if you do. There's all kinds of historical documents, even from people that hated him, that wrote about him. In Caesar's writings, Caesar Augustus and the Caesars of that time, they have writings of the actual Caesar who was Caesar when Jesus was crucified. In his writings, he talks about how the earth was darkened that day when this man of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified. He lived. He has changed history. He was on this planet. He has revealed the invisible God. That's who he is. Look at what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 6:14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He expounds, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known? Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. He revealed the invisible God. That's one of the reasons he came, to show the whole world that he exists. Are you hearing me this morning? That's the first thing that we see in this list. Now, the other ones are going to go faster. Number two, to fulfill prophecy. That's a reason that God became a man, to fulfill prophecy. Let's look at one prophecy, Isaiah 9:6. This is a pretty tough one to fulfill. I don't think you and I could do it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Say it with me. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There are over 300 prophecies in your Bible that prophesy Jesus Christ the Messiah. Over 300. Isn't that insane? Say, stuff like this. He'll be born in Bethlehem. That's in Micah. How about this one in Psalms? He will be pierced. His hands will be pierced. What's so big about that? The Romans crucified hundreds of thousands. What's the big deal? It was a prophecy made 1,000 years before crucifixion ever became a means of execution. He has fulfilled prophecy. Do you understand that? Say. Be careful when you go follow some fella or some god or some cult or something. Jesus is what it's all about. He became man for you and me. He's the God-man. Why else did he become man? To honor his covenant with Israel. Look at the scripture. Luke 1:31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him, say it with me, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of who? Jacob, Israel, forever. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. See, God became a man to keep his covenant. He's different from you and me. And I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to tell you straight up. We get in a financial fix, and you know what we do? We go bankrupt. That's not how God works. God keeps his word. He keeps his covenant. Are y'all hearing me today or not? We get in a marriage, and it gets a little rough. And I know sometimes things are super, super, super tough, but we're so quick to split and run and get a divorce. God keeps his covenant. Are you hearing me today? That's our God. He did this so he could say, you can trust me. I keep my word. Are you hearing me? That's why he came. That's why this is so important. It's huge. God became a man because he keeps his covenant. And by the way, we need to be like him. Amen. You don't need to be like me. I hope I can lead you in the right direction. I hope I can point you towards Jesus. But if you look at me close enough, you're going to find warts and wrinkles. You're going to find some mess. You're going to find that I mess up. And that's why Jesus, it's all about him, friend. It's all about us together, pointing each other all the time to him. Because he keeps his covenant. You can count on him. You can trust him. He'll be there for you. He said this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How many can say that's true? You've been in the valley. And he was there in the valley. He's there, man. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. We got a family here today, and I'm not going to say much to embarrass them or anything like that, but their son went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And they're here in the service today. And they're hurting today. And he's a fine fella, hugged my neck. I was able to see him saved and see him baptized. He's with the Lord. But his grace is sufficient for this family. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But he's faithful. He keeps his covenant. Are you getting a little of it? Say. That's who, he's the God man. When I can't do it, he can. Are you hearing me? That's who he is. I don't know how to talk to people when they're hurting. But he shows up. He shows up. And some of you might say to me, that guy's crazy up there. Call me crazy if you want to. He changed this Hellraiser's life. He set my feet on a solid rock, and he's got me going in a good direction in my life. And he's worthy to be praised. He keeps his covenant. Fourth, why did God become a man? To be a sacrifice for our sin. That's why he came, Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. That's why he came, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. He took our death, our hell on that cross. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. Amen? You looking for a Savior? I recommend this one. Amen? He got the job done. Say it with me. When he was on the cross, he said three words. It is what? That's who he is. He gave a sacrifice for our sins. Number five, to reconcile us to God. That was his purpose, to save people from their sins. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ's purpose was to bridge that gap between you and God. We didn't have any hope until the cross, amen? The blood of goats and bulls, it would never suffice. It was almost like something in futility. But the cross of Christ, the resurrection, I don't understand it, but somehow Jesus went to hell for us. And I don't come after me and ask me all about that, because I don't know. But he took our hell for us. Are you hearing me? He reconciled us to God. In Adam all die, but in Christ are all made alive. Hallelujah. He reconciled us to God. Number six, to be an example for us to follow. 1 Peter 2:21, for even henceforth were you called, because Christ suffered for us, and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Amen? That's why, buddy, I might mess you up sometime. Boy, you can follow him. He'll lead you right. He'll never lead you down the wrong path. He's our great example. That's one of the reasons God became a man. Number seven, we're getting somewhere. Woo, we're over halfway. To be our high priest. We're way further than halfway now. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That's why he was made, why he came, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He came to this planet. He feels what you feel, and he is your high priest. You can go to him now. He loves you. Matter of fact, there's nowhere else to go. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Who is he? The man Christ Jesus. I don't have you coming and making your penance or talking to me behind some little window and you confessing sin to me. You have a high priest. His name's Jesus. Did you hear me? That's who he is. That's not to be ugly. That's Bible. There's one man. Isn't that pretty plain English? Say, there's one what? Man. And mediator between God and you. Who is it? Christ Jesus. Talk to him. Go to him. He's your high priest. Number eight, to destroy Satan's works. Can you say that? And it's one of my favorites. To destroy Satan's works. That's why God became a man. Look at the scripture. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He has defeated Satan. Do you understand that? We give in to Him. We do that. We could live in the power of the Spirit, and we can be victorious in our life because He has defeated the devil. By the way, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all sinners. And if you don't think you're a sinner, we're just going to keep looking at you one day, and we'll know when you die. They were lying. I knew it. All right? We're all sinners, but we don't have to die the second death. We don't have to die and go to hell, friend. We have a Savior who has defeated death, hell, and the grave. We can trust Him that the works of Satan have been destroyed. Death has been destroyed. We've got to believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. Number 9, why did God become a man? To free us from the curse of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's the curse. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. What's His name? He's the God-man. He's the God-man. He's the one that can take that curse away. You are cursed. Without Jesus Christ, you are cursed. When you come to Him, you can be free of that curse. You can be free of the crap, and the bondage and the mess that you've been carrying on, you know, and hanging on to. You can be free today. I became a Christian around Christmas time in 1977, and my drunk mama. And I tell you what, I've never seen anything like it. I saw her liberation more than I saw my own. It was amazing. She came to Christ, been a drunk for years, could never get loose, never. But I tell you what, she came to Christ that Sunday morning in December, late December, and she went home that afternoon, and she took all her booze and everything, poured it right down the sink. Let me tell you something. She was free. She was free. Did she still fought? She still struggled? She would tell us often, she said, oh, I'd love to have another drink, but He gives me the power not to. Amen. Amen. That's being free. God does that for us. He did it in my mother's life. He did it in my life. My language used to be so horrible, you think it's bad now. It's bad now. Anyway, my wife thinks it's bad. Anyway, but it was every foul word you could imagine, and God took that from me. Amen. He took that from me, and it wasn't. It was just one day. I wasn't saying anymore. It was amazing. God takes that curse away from us. Keep looking. 10th thing to heal the brokenhearted. Look at this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to heal broken hearts. Let's give Him some testimony this morning. How many have had a broken heart before and Jesus Christ came to you? Amen? And He met that need in your life. He met that need in your life. You just couldn't make it, man. Jesus heals broken hearts. There is hope. There is another day. You can keep moving. You can keep going. He loves you to pieces. He heals broken hearts. Keep looking. 11th, to give abundant life. Amen. Ooh, I love this one. To give abundant life. Jesus Christ came to give me a life that's overflowing. He came to give me a life that I can live to the max. It doesn't mean I'm going to be rich. It doesn't mean all. It means that inside of me, I can be free. I can be happy. I can live every day. I can get up and love my family and love what I do. God gives that kind of life. John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, destroy. I am come that they might what? Have life. Say it with me. And that they might have it what? More? Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. More abundantly. He gives us life overflowing. That's why the God-man came. That's why God became a man. And here's the last one this morning. Boy, my wife dressed me like this today. Where are you? I wish you could feel this. Gosh. Man, I'm wringing wet. I'm not going to listen anymore. I'm just not. I'm not. I'm going to wear my Columbia shirts. I'm going to wear. Anyway, here we go. I'm sorry. 12 reasons God became a man. Here's the 12th one. This is the big granddaddy of them all. To glorify God. Remember, I say it often. God's big on God. He ain't big on you. It's all about Him. It's not about you. Amen. God wants all the glory. He don't want you and me to get none of it. Because we can't handle it. You understand? It goes to our head. He gets it all. That's why Jesus came, to glorify his Father. Look at John 17, Jesus talking. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. How much more plain English do you need than that? I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory, say it with me, which I had with you before the world was. 12 reasons Jesus came. Amen? 12 reasons Jesus became a man. I hope you got it today, but just in case you didn't, I'm here to help you. All right. And you know what? Now, Miss Karen, I did this earlier without the piano. We're going to try it. Come on. Come on. It's rough. Here we go. Just in case you might forget. And since I hate that other song so much, I wrote a new one. And here's how it goes. And it's just chock full of doctrine. It ain't got fancy little rhymes. Here we go. Come on. Play. Da 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 da. Here we go. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to reveal the invisible God. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. Come on, you do good. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to reconcile us to God, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. They just you can see why this is a rough melody. It'll kill you. Are you getting it? Say. Sure does you a lot better than that partridge in that pear tree mess. Here we go. Come on. We ain't even half done, but we're getting there. Here we go. This shirt is really hot. Here we go. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to be our example, to reconcile us to God. You're hurting me over there. To be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to be our high priest, to be our example, to reconcile us to God, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. Have you ever felt like you're going to have a stroke? Here we go. Here we go. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to destroy Satan's works, to be our high priest, to be our example, to reconcile us to God, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to free us from the curse, to destroy Satan's works, to be our high priest, to be our example, to reconcile us to God, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible. Aren't we there at Maids of Milking or something? Lords of Leaping or Ladies Dance? Here we go. Keep moving. Here we go. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to heal the brokenhearted, to free us from the curse, to destroy Satan's works, to be our high priest, to be our example, to reconcile us to God, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible God. Shoo! We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to give abundant life, to heal the brokenhearted, to free us from the curse, to destroy Satan's works, to be our high priest, to be our example, to reconcile us to, you got it, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal. Stand on up. Last one. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Now we're going to slow it down. You owe me for this. Here we go. Last one, the big granddaddy of them all. That's what it's all about. Here we go. We celebrate Christmas because God became a man to glorify God, to give abundant life, to heal the brokenhearted, to free us from the curse, to destroy Satan's works, to be our high priest, to be our example. Come on, to reconcile us to, to be our sacrifice, to honor his covenant, to fulfill prophecy and reveal the invisible. Y'all did good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I've got you standing, so let's go ahead and stay standing. Man, I've had a good time today. I hope you know now, there's a little bit more to this Christmas thing. Amen? Than just Bethlehem. I mean, that's huge. But it's pretty involved, don't you say? Don't you agree? Don't you think? I had a reporter call me this week. Said I'm doing a big story in the paper tomorrow. He's the editor. It should be in the Sun on Christmas. And he said, do y'all do extra things at Christmas? You sort of make a big deal out of it? I said, oh yes, sir. We make a big deal out of it. Amen? We love the Lord every week, serve the Lord every week. But we make a big deal out of it. Don't you think we ought to make a big deal out of it? Say. Pretty important stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,